I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to Psalm 119, Psalm 119. On Wednesday nights now, for 38 weeks, we have discussed the subject of relationships. Relationships. Tonight, the sermon is going to be way too simple. I don't think the sermon will take a long time. Of course, don't bank on that. You know how preachers lie when it comes to that. But I want to show you something, and the sermon could not be more simple. But I want to teach us something this evening. This is lesson number 38, Psalm 119, and I want you to look at verse number 11, Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verse number 11. And that is the verse that we're going to use to get us started. Psalm 119:11. Why don't you stand up with me, please? Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I'm going to read out loud. The Bible says this. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." In verse number 11, it tells us, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." We're going to use that thought to help us this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, take the simple lesson of tonight and use it to get glory to thyself, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I want you to listen to me. And I want to tell you something that tonight I'm going to give you some Bible verses on the subject of relationships. I'm going to tell you a verse. I'm going to read the verse to you. I'm going to make a couple comments on the verse, and then I'm going to move on. I will read to you probably somewhere between a dozen and 15 different verses, make a few comments on them, and that's what the entire lesson tonight will be like. Totally different than what I usually do, but I'm going to tell you why. I would love for you to memorize some scripture that will help you in your relationships. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Bible teaching us that God's word should be hidden in our hearts. It's talking about tucking it away, memorizing it, if you will. God wants us to memorize his word. I believe this. I believe that if we will hide God's word in our heart, it will keep us then from sinning against him. To me, the word of God is like a spiritual antibiotic. When you memorize it, you put it in a sin-infected mind, and that spiritual antibiotic goes to work on keeping you healthy. Now, I'm going to do something tonight I never do. I'm going to offer you a 3x5 card in case you want to write some of these verses down. I don't like people to take notes when I'm preaching. That's because I'd rather speak to your heart than to your notebook. And if you pay attention now, you don't have to go to your notes to refer to it later. I'm not mad at you, but I'm going to offer you a card. If you want to write a couple of these verses down, I want you to have a card on which to do it. And so if you'll raise your hand and if you want a card, and you won't ever again see me say, "Take notes if you want to," because I don't think that way. I've been teaching and preaching, 37,000 times. I know the best way for someone to learn. I promise you that. But if you get a card and if you have a pen, if you want to write a verse down, I'm going to let you write a verse down. I have, if I get through them all, if you're looking extremely intelligent tonight, we may get through all 17 of these, but I have 17 verses. And again, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out a verse. I'm going to read the verse. I'm going to make a couple comments about the verse. You say, "Well, why?" Listen, the two most important things in your life is going to be your relationship with God and then your relationship with people. And I believe if the Bible tells us that we should hide God's word in our hearts so we do not sin against God, what could we be talking about? I don't think we ought to sin against our relationship with God. But I promise you, if you will memorize scriptures in the area of your weakness, those scriptures will help to strengthen your weakness. That's because you have them in your mind, like that antibiotic, but then you have recall to them. They're available to you. And they can, and I'll tell you what's happened to me through the years. When I memorize a scripture, I'm out there living life, and that scripture pops into my brain. And it works on me. I don't know about you, but the Bible talks to me. I can be doing something, and all of a sudden a verse comes to my mind, and I hear that verse saying, now you know what to do, and you know what you've been taught, and that verse says, you know what I say. And I think if we want our relationships to be strong, it might be that we need to memorize some scripture that will help us in our relationships. That's the whole purpose of the unique style of this evening's sermon. If I could limit my sinning by memorizing scripture, maybe I could limit my sin against God. I could limit my sin against those with whom I have relationships. All right. So now I gave you something to write on. Don't be drawing pictures of your youth director on there or anything like that. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. Listen to this verse. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I'll read it again. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I memorized that verse a long time ago, and I'm going to promise you something. Spending time with wise people will help you to become wise in your relationships. Right. Ladies, you say, I want to be a good wife, and I'd find a good wife and spend some time with a good wife. Find someone that is a good wife and spend some time with that person, and then you will learn from that wise person. But don't make the mistake here. It also says that a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You want to be a good wife, then you turn around and spend time with someone that is a bad wife. And I'm not going to try to describe what that means, but I'm telling you, you get around, you want to be submissive, but then you go spend time with someone who's rebellious, you're not being wise. You're going to destroy your relationship that way. So Proverbs 13:20 says, again, I'll read it. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Verse number 2, John 15:13. John chapter 15, verse number 13. John 15:13, and it says this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, that verse is worth your memorizing. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, we already know that one of the main ingredients of a proper relationship is going to be love. And so you ought to memorize some scripture about that. You say, I want my marriage to be a better marriage. Memorize some scripture about love and see if that doesn't help you. We should be striving for the greatest possible love to be expressed in our relationships. Notice what that said, greater love. God is talking, he's using a superlative there, great. He's wanting our love to be a great love. Too many of you are satisfied with just love. You ought to want more than just love. You ought to want great love. You ought to want the greatest of love in your life. Then, if you heard the words, it says that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, you might say, I know what that means. That means I should be willing to die for my friends. Well, maybe it means that, but I happen to believe it actually means when you lay down your life, it means that you die to yourself. That means you get the stinginess and you get you out of the center of your bullseye of concern, and you care about other people more than you care for yourself. If I lay down my life for Chris Edwards, my friend, that means I'm willing to lay down my preferences and I'm willing to lay down my emotions to do what's best for him. Look, you can die for a friend physically only once. You could die daily for your friends and accomplish far more. So, John 15:13 would be a great verse to memorize. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23. Colossians 3:23. I'll read it. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." I'll read it again. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." I memorized this scripture a long, long time ago, and it has helped me in so many ways in my Christian life. I believe God is telling us here that we should work hard at what we do. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And relationships are worth doing right. I ask people in a roundabout way how hard they work at being a good husband or being a good wife. How hard, young person, are you working at being a good son or daughter to your mom and dad? How hard, Christian, do you work at being a good Christian? Here, it tells us that we are to give our all. And whatsoever we do, do it heartily. That means throw your heart into it. I believe that no matter what shape a relationship is in, if you will put your heart into it, God can fix, salvage, and mend that relationship. But you got to throw yourself into it. Oh, we'll throw ourselves into making money. We'll throw ourselves into the things that we enjoy. Boy, folks, we ought to throw ourselves into our relationship with God. And we ought to throw ourselves in, put our heart into our relationship with the people that we love. In other words, don't be lazy about your relationships. In the marital relationship, you have to work at it. You will have to work at that relationship. You fall in love and you're at it for many months, a couple years, and it comes relatively easy. Well, after you've been married 10, 20, 30, 40 years, it's not as easy as it used to be. You say, does it get easier as you go along? No, it probably takes more character as you go along. You work at that, and you work at it, and you work at it, and you work at it. And so, I believe memorizing a scripture about doing what you do and doing it with all your heart will help your relationships. So, the first verse was Proverbs 13:20. I think you ought to memorize it. I think you someday ought to take the time to memorize John 15:13 about a great love and laying your life down for the people that you love. Thirdly, Colossians 3:23. We give ourselves and we work hard at it. Now, Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. I memorized this verse when I was a young man. I have no regrets about it. I'm glad I memorized this verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but the exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." You say, what's it talking about? It's talking about going to church and being faithful to church. The word, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. This doesn't mean anything to you, and you don't even have to know it. But the word assembling there comes from a Greek word, ekklesia. It is where we get the word church, the ecclesiastic portion of the meeting place for God's people. And here it says, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You say, well, what does this have to do with relationships? You won't go anywhere in the world that you'll be taught more about relationships than church. I have found the strongest relationships are the people that are most faithful to the Word of God and hearing the Word of God preached and taught. You're just going to find that out. Hey, look, moms and dads, you start struggling with one of your kids, don't pull them out of church. Keep them in church. Get them more involved in church. You say why? It is in church where the Word of God is going to be exalted and taught. And the Word of God is the relationship fixer. It is the relationship truth. It is what makes relationships strong and what they ought to be. So, memorizing a verse about the importance of being in church, I promise you, will help. It'll help your relationships in the long run. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. Let me read it to you now. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Notice, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, we're back to the thought. What are we talking about? Relationships. Relationships. You want something that will help you in your relationships? Humility. Humbling yourself. Be humble. Lose your pride. Don't demand your way about everything. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction. You say, well, is that talking about if I have pride, I will destroy me, I'll destroy my body? Well, maybe it is talking about that, but I will guarantee you, if you have pride in your life and you won't be humble, you will destroy your relationships. Many a relationship between a father and son has been destroyed because of pride. Many a relationship between a daughter and mother has been destroyed because of no humility and pride. Two men that ought to be friends and getting along, pride can enter the picture, and that lack of humility will destroy that relationship. And so, I think memorizing a verse about humility can aid your relationships. It can. You say, I struggle getting along with my superiors at work. Then memorize a verse about humility. You young people, you say, I struggle obeying mom and dad. I struggle with submitting to my mom or submitting to my dad. Then memorize a verse about humility. I'm telling you, folks, I don't know sometimes how I've made it through the Christian life, but if I were going to trace some of it back, a lot of it has to do with the amount of the Word of God that I've put into my heart and put into my mind. I believe there were times when I had strength that I didn't even realize was there because I had pumped my brain, my memory, and my heart full of God's Word. And if you say, preacher, I really do want to have good relationships in life, then memorize Scripture that will help your relationships. Verses like Proverbs 13:20, John 15:13, Colossians 3:23, Hebrews 10:25, 1 Peter 5:6. Now, another passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. And it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'll read it again. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know something? We ought to want unity in our relationships. We ought to want peace in our relationships. And notice that word Spirit there is a capital S. That means it's in reference to the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead. And I'll remind everybody in here, you will not for very long live the Christian life on the basis of your own character. You will not live the Christian life successfully on the basis of rote memorization. You'll have to walk in the Spirit. And this verse talks to us about being meek and letting the Spirit of God lead us so that there is unity and there is peace in our life. Hey, doesn't that thing called peace appeal to some of you? Some of you, all around you, your relationships, there's always turmoil. There's always tension. And I know it's always the other people, but just in the case that maybe you're a contributor to the lack of the peace, maybe you ought to memorize a verse about that unity and about that Holy Spirit and about that peace that God wants in your relationships. So again, that's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and verse number 3. Now, I want you to look at let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus 20, verse number 12. In Exodus 20:12, it says this: Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I'll read it again. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. All these verses I have memorized. All these verses help me with my relationships in life. I believe every young person and parents, I would, if I were you, I'd help your children to memorize that verse. I'd want them to memorize that verse. Now, this verse where it talks about honor thy father and thy mother, the word honor here means you're to treat them with respect. You're to treat them with a dignity. You're honoring them. When someone is treated with honor, probably has a little something to do with royalty, to be treated as a superior. Now, we might think that that is just for a child living at home. That verse right there is for everybody that's got a mom and a dad, which includes everyone. You are to honor your mom and dad. Now, you adults, you don't live in your mom and dad's home anymore, so you don't have to obey your mom and dad, but you ought to honor your mom and dad. And it might even be every once in a while your dad will say something pretty smart to you. You might even want to obey. I'm a grown adult man. My dad is a very wise man. My dad loves the Lord. He pastors a church. And I every once in a while, my dad will say something to me, and I'm thinking, I probably ought to just shut up and obey. I'm 56 years of age, but dad's still pretty smart. But adults, you should still have an honor in your treatment towards your parents. But to those of you that are children living at home, honor your mom and dad. I'm glad when I was a young man that I memorized Exodus 20:12. I truly believe that that verse influenced me to love my parents more, to respect my parents more, to obey my parents more. It wasn't just knowing it was in the Bible. It was knowing that it was in my mind. It was not just knowing that it was printed out there somewhere. It was printed in my heart. I don't need the Bible. You know, my mom could say something to me and Exodus 20:12 would come to my mind. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Do I want to sass her or do I not? You need that. What you don't need to do is be cramming the rock and roll music and the trash from Hollywood in your mind. Maybe you ought to put some scriptures in your mind. So Exodus 20:12 will help get that accomplished. Now, another, I want you to write down Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It wouldn't hurt if you memorize Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. Let me read them to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let me tell you something. Young people, if you would like to live a long time, I think it's a good idea not to play on the train tracks. I think if you want to live a long time, I don't think you ought to get mixed up in taking drugs and drinking booze and being immoral. All those things will shorten your life. But let me tell you something. You really want to shorten your life? You just disrespect your mom. You disrespect your dad. You say, why? In modern day vernacular, that ticks God off. You're doing the wrong thing when you disrespect your mom and when you disrespect your dad. And the Bible says there in verse 3 that it may be well with thee that thou mayest live long on the earth. You say, I'd like to live a long time. Then treat your mom and dad right. Again, I would recommend every teenager, every child, memorize Ephesians chapter 6, at least verse 1. But if you would, and you take the time to memorize verse 1, 2, and 3, you won't regret it. Let me read it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I'll say something here, and I'll teach you a little something, and this is just free. You say, who do you think qualifies as a children there? If you are living in your parents' home, you're a children. You say, well, I wonder if I'm 28 years old. You're still a children. If you're living under mom and dad's house, you're to obey mom and dad's rules. You're to do what mom and dad says. And that's just what the Bible teaches. So this doesn't just mean if you're six. So if you are a child still living under mom and dad's roof, you're to obey dad's rules. You're to obey mom's rules. I couldn't tell you how many times somebody hits 18 or 19, they decide, well, I'm going to live the way I want. Well, not in my house, you're not. Because I give answer to Almighty God. And so that's free, and that will help some of you in a considerable way. I'm just sure of it. All right, I want you to turn, well, you don't have to turn to it. You can write down 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. I'm glad I memorized this verse a long time ago. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? I'll read it again. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Now, let me explain something to you folks. I think God is trying to tell us that if we want more wholesome, successful relationships, you ought to be specializing in relationships with godly, Christian, born-again people. Girls, you meet a man and he's unsaved, you marry him, you do understand you suddenly have the devil as a father-in-law. You're not supposed to marry someone that's unsaved, but not only that, you shouldn't be marrying someone that doesn't love the Lord. And there's a lot more teaching there in verse 14 than what some people realize. This isn't just a separation of lost and saved. There's a lifestyle that's being taught here. And the more you have in common with that person, the more apt your relationship is last. You just got to use some common sense. So somehow he got saved, but he goes to a Catholic church. Now, I think you get saved by getting saved, and you could be doing a lot of stupid stuff while you're saved. But I'll tell you something. An old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist that's saved that somehow ends up married to a Catholic that claims to be saved, you're going to have struggles. You're not going to have a good relationship. It's just not going to be that way. So what we try to do is we try to equally yoke ourselves, in other words, have a lot in common spiritually, and it'll help your relationships. We'll move on. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. And let me read it to you. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'll read it again. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let me tell you something. Now we're talking about relationships. If you come to church and you say, I feel like people aren't coming to me to be my friend, you're not thinking scripturally. You're not to be looking for people to be your friend. You're to be looking to become a friend to someone. The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The prerequisite to getting friends is to being a friend. And the truth is, you can't make someone be your friend. Now, if you're sitting around just waiting on someone to be your friend, you're going to be sadly disappointed because the right person's not going to come along. It's not going to happen the way you want it to happen. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Concentrate all your efforts in giving, not receiving. You decide you'll be a friend. Then you say, well, what will happen? God will then send the friend to you, and you're better off letting God pick your friends anyway. Right. Far better off letting God pick your friends. And I'll say this about that. I'd rather have no friends than wrong friends. Right. I'd rather be friendless than to have wrong friends. But it's telling us here, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Notice also there, it's teaching there's a commitment there. There's a commitment of friendship. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You say, that's talking about Jesus. It may be, but I think it's talking about more than that. I think there are times in life when a born-again Christian gets into the family of God, and they may have a blood brother or blood sister, someone born in their family, and they are closer to some of their Christian brothers than maybe to their own relative. And I'm not promoting that. I'm not telling you I'm real glad of that. I'm just telling you that that does exist. So there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But that's a scriptural friendship. It's a scriptural relationship. I've never regretted memorizing that verse. It influences my friendships in life. You know something? It helps me to remember something. If somebody in the church doesn't greet me, if somebody in the church doesn't treat me right, I don't live for your greeting. I live to greet. I don't live for you to treat me right. I live to treat you right. I don't live to have you like me. I live for me to like you. And the reason why you have such a hard time is you're always looking for someone to do something for you. And that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is what can I give you, not what can I get out of you. Christianity is not what good thing you said about me. It's what good thing I can say about you. And if you'd get that in your life, you'd be far less disappointed. Your expectations are setting you up for disappointment, and you're going to have tough relationships that way. That's just a little to help you stay awake. Now, let's move on. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I'll read it again. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Powerful verse. A ton of teaching in that verse about marriage. Let me tell you some things. I memorized that verse a long time ago. And, you know, it means something to me. I don't have to look it up. Things can be happening within our marriage, and that verse begins to work on me. But it says, my pastor, Brother Hiles, used to say, you can solve most marital issues by doing this. Leave and cleave. Leave and cleave. Cleave means stay with him. Shouldn't be a bunch of threats. I'm leaving you. We're going to divorce. You shouldn't be talking that way. You're setting yourself up for destruction. Cleave. Hang in there. Now, when it talks about leaving, it's talking about when two people get married, they have now established their own home, and that home, we're not trying to get you to ignore mom and dad and everybody else, but you better give your mate priority. You now have a home, and your husband becomes the most important man on the face of the earth to you, and your wife becomes the most important woman on the face of you, and you stick together. And if ever there were tension throughout the family, one thing for sure, you and your wife are going to stick together, and you and your wife are going to be a pair. And that's how it ought to be, leave and cleave. Genesis 2:24, it'd be good for some of you that nobody knows about it, I don't even know about it, but you throw around, I'll leave you, I'm going to divorce you. It'd be good for you to memorize Genesis 2:24, and remember, you're supposed to cleave. That means you hang in there. Okay, let's move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 18. I don't know if I'll convince anybody to memorize any scripture tonight, but you will have at least been told this will help your relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. If I were a teenager living in this promiscuous society where you've got pornography everywhere, and at the touch of a button on your telephone, you can get on the internet and send nasty pictures and all sorts of things, I'd memorize 1 Corinthians 6, 18. Where the Bible says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I'll read it again. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Young people, if you'd like to be pure, memorize some scripture about being pure. If you don't want to be guilty of fornication, and just so I make it very clear to everybody in here, if you're not married, you ought to keep your hands off of each other. The Bible says it's better for a man not to touch a woman. The word touch there means set on fire. You say, well, when a man touches me, it doesn't turn me on. Then why do you want him to touch you? You keep your hands off of each other until you get married, which actually means when you come down to the wedding altar, you got to come down here virgin, clean, pure. I know that's not popular in this day and age, but if you'd memorize some scripture about it, it might help you. So if you're sleeping with someone and you're not married to him, that's a very filthy, vile, nasty sin. It's going to get you in a lot of trouble, lots of trouble. And then for married people, you shouldn't be committing adultery too. But that's not in the verse that we're memorizing. That's just free. Okay, let's move on. We're getting close to the end of the way here. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 17. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, here God is talking to us about loving and loving continually. This does not mean that we approve of someone's sin. It means that we love the sinner, but we hate the sin. If you've got a brother and he has sinned, you're to love him. It doesn't mean you're going to spend a bunch of fellowship time necessarily with him. But we are to learn to love perpetually. That's how God loves. Let's go on. I'll give you another couple. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. I'm not sure which verses I memorized as a young man that have made the greatest impact on me, but this has to be one of them. Psalm 19:14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'll tell you what, folks, if you and I could control our words, if we could control what's going on in our minds, that on which we meditate, if we could just make sure what we say is pleasing in the sight of the Lord and what we think is pleasing to God, it would change everything about us. If every married couple would only speak the words that God would have them to speak, the number of arguments would almost be nothing. If every child would only speak the words they're to speak, their life would be so much purer and their relationship with mom and dad would be so much better. If every friend would only text what God would approve being texted. If every person would only place on their Facebook account things that would please God, that would be holy and honorable. Oh, would that change the lives of people?
Yes, sir.
Oh, would that be fantastic? It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I believe these verses, and I'm going to give you a couple more, but I believe these verses have had everything to do with me and my relationships in life. When I'm in a relationship, whether it's with my mom, my dad, my wife, my kids, my friends, my enemies, these verses mold me. These verses help to control me. I'm glad I didn't have to go hear them preach, or I'm glad I didn't have to go read them to have access to them. I'm working on relationships all day long, every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 52 weeks out of the year. I'm always with people. I've got to get me in submission to the Word of God, so my relationships are pure and clean. Having these in my brain memorized influence what I say, what I think, how I act, where I go, who I'm with, which make up my relationships in life. Let me give you a couple more and we'll be done. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13. It might be a different verse here. It's Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. Ephesians 4:32 says this, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I'll read it again. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I memorized that when I was a 16 or a 17-year-old boy. Boy, I wonder if I have not quoted that maybe once a week to myself or to someone for all these many years. It's talking about forgiveness. It's talking about being tenderhearted. It's talking about being kind. Those are ingredients that make friendships lasting, spiritual, holy, godly. That is spiritual behavior. Let me give you one more. We'll be done. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Again, I don't say this to embarrass anybody, but all the screaming and yelling in our homes is not good. Be a good idea to save some volume from when you need it. But here it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." I have to tell you something. My dad could look at me and in the most calm, soft voice say, "We're never going to do that again, are we?" And I would tremble from head to toe. There are times I thought, yell at me, throw something, but do not show so much self-control. Very soft, but pointed. There are times, I think the Bible talks about the raising of the voice. I don't think it's always wrong. I think preachers are raise their voice at times. I think there are going to be times when mom and dad will raise their voice some. But so you all know, if there's a volume, 1 is soft and 10 is loud, if you speak at 10 all the time, where do you go from there? But it says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Now here it's talking about two people. If you learn how to respond properly, you may limit the wrath in a relationship. And if you don't use grievous words, you won't stir up anger among people. And we're talking about relationships tonight. I'll stop there. I want to remind you of Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let me recommend something to you. If you say, "I'm struggling in my marriage, I'm struggling with my kids," young people, you say, "I'm struggling in my friendships," I challenge you to do something. You really want help? Go to Scripture, find a verse that would refute or train you in the area of your relationship weakness, and that verse will go to work on your relationship. Your wife, you say, "I want help in my marriage." I wonder how many verses about marriage you've ever memorized in your life. You say, "I'm a husband, I'd like help in my marriage." Have you ever memorized any verses about being a good husband? See, I struggle with depression and my spirit. How many verses have you memorized about your spirit? You say, I can't control my mouth. How many verses have you memorized about your lips and your tongue? I promise you, you can go to the bank on it. If you will memorize Scripture, that Scripture will help you with your weakness. Because that's what God promised. If we'll memorize the Scripture, it will keep us from sinning against God, which, by the way, will keep us from sinning against each other. And those are the two relationships we ought to be concerned with. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a brief altar call. I believe there are folks in this room that you used to memorize some Scripture here and there, but you don't anymore. There are some, you have some severe weaknesses. If you have a weakness with liquor, could I recommend that you memorize some verses about liquor? You say, "I've got weakness about morality." Then you better memorize some verses about morality. Purity. Who here tonight would say, "Pastor, I've been challenged by something somewhere tonight that's been said. God has challenged my heart. Would you let God see your hand?" You may put that hand down. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. After she plays, if you need a moment at the altar, we'll let you come. I won't belabor this, not at all. Father, take the invitation and use it to get glory to thyself, please. And the pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Teenager, you need to memorize a verse about obedience to mom and dad. Children, you need to memorize a verse about obeying mom. Somebody needs to memorize a verse about your temper. Somebody needs to memorize a verse about your language. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Oh, that verse has saved me a lot of grief. I've been standing around, and all of a sudden people start acting foolishly, and that verse said to me, Jeff, it's time to go. Get out of there. Get away from that. Young people, you've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. Not all the teenagers that come to the church will make you a good friend. I think you should be friendly to everyone, but best friends with very few. Those verses about humility would help us. Verses about obedience to mom and dad would help us. You say, I struggle being faithful to church. Maybe you ought to memorize Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. There have been times when I just didn't feel like going to church. But I was haunted by the fact that in my brain was a verse telling me I ought to go to church. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Wow, as that verse haunted me, corrected me, chastised me. And it did it in the privacy of my own mind. Nobody even knew the verse was telling me off, getting all over me.